How is everybody? Good. Happy New Year to you. So we are starting a sermon series today on gifts that keep on giving. And today specifically, we're going to be talking about the gift of unexpected gifts. Wonder, have you ever received an unexpected gift before? Was it a welcome surprise or was it like, ooh, what is this? We'll talk about that a little bit today. But one of my love languages is gifts. I love to give gifts. I love to receive gifts. And for me, it brings joy to take time to think about what I'm giving someone. I think about what they like. I try to watch them and see if they mention anything that they might need or something they might want. And then I like to find a creative way to give that to them. And then comes the fun part for me, which is presenting the gift to them. I always like to have a reaction. And so that's always fun for me when I get a reaction. I know I've done a good job if I get a response. But I took some time as I was working on the sermon this morning, and I started to think about some of the most meaningful gifts ever given to me. And it turns out that they were unexpected gifts. And so I want to open this morning just by sharing a few experiences that I've had in receiving some unexpected gifts. The first one, I think back to my freshman year of college at Campbell University. And one of my favorite things to do at Campbell, there's not a lot to do, so one of my favorite things to do was to go to the post office. You see, I had never had a post office box before, and so I was so excited. I had my little key, and I had it on my key ring, and so I'd go by every day, and I'd open up that box and see if anything was in there. And so one day, I remember going and opened the box, and there was a little yellow slip in there, and I was like, oh, what is this? And so it says on the bottom, like, go see the postmaster, and they'll give you your package. And so I was like, oh, I have a package. This is exciting. I haven't gotten a package. So I go up to the front, and I go to the postmaster. I give him my yellow slip of paper. I tell him what my box is, and I get this box handed to me, and it's big, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? And so immediately I recognize the handwriting on the front of it, and it's from my dad. And he has packed the box. This is in early February, and so he's packed the box with some Valentine goodies, some candy, a card, and this monkey that was stuffed, and it would dance and sing. And so that was something, but you'd press its hand and it would turn on and off, and it was really cool. But I just remember that feeling I had as I carried that package back across campus to my dorm room and showing my sweet mates and just saying, look what I got, look what my dad sent me. And just the joy that brought me to think about him taking the time to go get those things for me, to pack them up, and then to send them to me. It made me feel very loved. Another example I can think of when I received an unexpected gift was when me and Kevin first moved to a house from living in an apartment. We had been living on the third floor in an apartment complex, and we had gotten a puppy, and so that was a lot of fun having to tote him down the stairs and all that good stuff. But we went from living on the third floor of this apartment complex to living in a house out in the country. It was near the church where I was serving, and it was an old farmhouse. It had a big backyard and a big front yard, and there were cows across the street, and I absolutely loved it. I was so excited that Toby finally was going to have a yard he could run around in. But one Friday in particular, I remember I was sitting in my living room, and I remember it was a Friday because that's my day off, and Kevin was at work teaching, and so I was there by myself, and all of a sudden, I hear this lawnmower, and it sounds like it's right outside my window, and so I was like, what in the world? I'm the only one here, and I'm not mowing grass, so what's going on? And so I look, and it is one of our church members, Mr. Sam Cotton. He had loaded up his lawnmower on a trailer and brought it over to our house, and he just started mowing our grass. He didn't come on the up to the door and knock and ask or say, "Hey, I'm here." He just started mowing grass. That's what he came to do. And he knew, since we had just moved, that we did not have a lawnmower, and so he just took it upon himself. He came over and just started mowing our grass. And he did that, I think, two more times before we finally said, "Mr. Sam, we can do it. Thank you so much." But that was just that act of kindness that he showed us, and the time that he took out of his own busy schedule to do that for us meant so much to us. And then finally, the third gift I thought about that was unexpected as I was reflecting on this sermon, and it goes back to my sophomore year of college. I had a roommate, and we had a falling out, as roommates sometimes do when you're in college. And so essentially, we had grown apart. We started making some different life choices, and so we just went our separate ways, basically. I always felt really bad because I'd see her on campus every now and then, and we didn't speak, and so it was just, it was really awkward, and it was hard, and it always bothered me that we had grown apart like that. And so one day, I was working in the religion department. I was working for my professor, Dr. Jonas, and I was sitting at my desk, and I was writing some cards to prospective students, and my friend walked in the door. And I remember I looked at her, and it was just this moment of like, oh gosh, this could go one of two ways, you know? And so it was awkward for a moment, but we said hello to each other and just casually talking, "How are you?" that kind of thing. And so she came and did what she had to do, and then she was getting ready to leave. And right before she was about to leave, I stood up and I said, "Hey, can I talk to you for just a second? I just want to say I'm so sorry for whatever has happened between us. And if you don't mind, I'd really like to move forward, and I'd like to be your friend. Do you think you could forgive me?" And she started crying, I started crying, and it was just this moment of relief in knowing that speaking those words out loud, our friendship had been healed, and we were able to move forward. There are so many ways that we can give and receive gifts to one another, but I truly believe that unexpected gifts are some of the best. In our text this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And we're going to be talking about the wise men coming to see Jesus. And with them, they brought some unexpected gifts. And so if you have your Bible or you want to look up on the screen, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it says this: "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him.' After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." So I think we're going to pull it up here on the screen in just a second, but one of my favorite memes that you may have seen circulating around on social media this past Christmas season is critiquing the gifts that the wise men brought baby Jesus, and I think it's pretty funny. So it says, after the three wise men left, three wise women arrived and brought fresh diapers, casseroles for the week, and a lot of formula. Pretty funny, but really there's a reason and there's a significance for the gifts that the wise men brought Jesus. The wise men, or magi, as we read in the text here just now, brought gifts that were very expensive and worthy of a king. My Bible talks in the notes about how these gifts were symbols of Christ's identity and what he would accomplish. Gold was a gift for royalty, frankincense a gift for a deity, and myrrh a spice for a person who is going to die. While none of these gifts are not very practical for a small child, they do acknowledge Jesus as king and bring preparations for what his life will encompass. Oftentimes when we see depictions of the nativity, we see the wise men are right there at the stable with baby Jesus and the shepherds and the angel and the animals and all of these things. But really, these unexpected gifts were presented to Jesus when he was probably about 2 years old. And I'll point out, it doesn't say in the Bible that there were three men. It says there were three gifts. But that's another story for another day. But I'd like to take a minute to talk about the gifts that were presented to Jesus and what they represent. First, gold, frankincense, and myrrh were very expensive. These gifts could be used as resources to financially help the family if they needed to sell them. But it was very fitting that such expensive items would be given to a king. They showed Jesus' significance as king. And then secondly, coming to present these gifts in the way they did, when they found Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped him. They didn't just come and drop them off as though they had just arrived at some great surprise party, but they took the time to stop in reverence and in awe of the Almighty who had come into the world through the form of a baby. And then finally, the wise men gave the gift of protection. It says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. King Herod wanted the wise men to report back to him once they found Jesus so that he could send people to go and kill him because he was threatened by him. But instead of returning back to Herod, as he asked, they went back to their country a different way. This is dangerous because they're directly disobeying one king, but it was to protect the true king. This morning, as we've taken some time to reflect on the unexpected gifts that the wise men brought King Jesus, I want us to stop and think about some gifts that we can bring with us into this new year, for ourselves and for others. The first thing that comes to mind is our time. I don't know about you, but it seems as though always at the beginning of the year, we are bombarded with new ways of doing things, all in which require planning, routine, and time dedicated specifically to achieving new goals. A new exercise routine, a new diet that will help you drop 40 pounds in a week, a new mindfulness practice that helps us to protect our peace, 50 ways to make your home feel more tidy, and how to organize your pantry. The list could go on, and there are so many things we could set to accomplish in a new year. While exercise, eating right, and being mindful and organized are not bad things at all by any means, please don't hear me say that, but they take time, and if we're not careful, we can become so invested in making things just as they should be that before we know it, we spend all of our time on things that are good for us to accomplish, but sometimes in the midst of the good, we lose focus on our relationship with the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." We must be mindful of our time and how we're spending it. In this text, we see Paul describing a sense of urgentness because the devil is persuasive and he's always at work. We must seek to rise above earthly trappings and live our days in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Another gift I believe that we can bring with us into 2023 is the gift of forgiveness. I like this illustration that I found by Dale Carnegie, and it says this. Dale visited Yellowstone Park when he saw a grizzly bear. The huge animal was in the center of a clearing, feeding on some discarded camp food. For several minutes, he feasted alone. No other creature dared draw near. After a few moments, a skunk walked through the meadow towards the food and took his place next to the bear. The bear didn't object, and Carnegie knew why. It would cost the bear too much to get even. You may be able to get even with your enemies, but it does not pay. Why don't you forgive instead? Proverbs 17:9 tells us, "Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends." Are there some things that need forgiving and letting go of as we enter into this new year with a new spirit? Holding on to grief and anger is only hurting you. We must forgive just as Christ forgave us. And finally, I believe we can bring the gift of love and kindness into the new year. Colossians 3:12 tells us, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." As Christian people, we represent Jesus in the way in which we live our lives. Our lives are living, walking testimonies to the grace, goodness, and forgiveness God has given to us through sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. If we're actively choosing not to show compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience with one another, then we're a bad witness to the kingdom of God. And that's disappointing. Disappointing not only to the people you're affecting, but disappointing to someone who may only know Jesus through you and your Christian witness. A new year, a fresh start, a new beginning, and a time for bringing unexpected gifts with us into a new season of life. In the day and time in which we live, serving others with our time, using it wisely, giving forgiveness freely to those who have wronged us, and showing compassion, humility, kindness, and love in a world filled with so much confusion and hurt can be some of the most unexpected gifts we could ever give. We have been given the gift of life, and God wants us to use that to glorify him. What gifts will you bring to the table this year to all those you meet? Would you pray with me? Father God, we give you thanks today for all that you have given to us. God, we have been challenged to think of the ways in which you are working in us and through us, and we think about the new year that lies before us. I pray that we would want to give you some more of our time, that we would seek new ways to serve and to be in relationship with you, that we would come into this new year with a refreshed heart, ready to love those who need it most, and that we would choose to live into forgiveness, forgiving others as you have so freely forgiven us for our wrongdoings and sin. Be with us now and reveal to us how we can do better for you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.